Good morning, church. As always, so wonderful to see you all here this morning. Those of you joining us online, it's wonderful to have you joining us as well. So go ahead and open to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, church. And as you are turning there, I have a confession to make to you all. I am not a runner. I know. I'm not a runner. I am not a treadmill guy. I am not a track guy. I am a let's don't and say we did kind of guy. And I can tell by the shocked look on your faces that this is news to all of you. Could have done without the giggle at the end, just saying. But while I am not a runner or a jogger or anything like that, when I was in college, when I first started college, I had all these ideas of what I was going to do to, you know, like better myself and, you know, be good and be healthy and all these kind of things. And I did some really ridiculous things, like giving up soda. That lasted all of a week because everybody just basically began to beg me, please start drinking soda again because you're just obnoxious now. And I was awful. But I also thought, you know what, I'm going to start running because everywhere you went on campus, there were people just always running. And I don't understand this. I still don't understand. Like, okay, you go away to college, you're away from mom and dad, and the thing you want to spend your free time doing is running? Ugh. But anyway, so I saw all these people doing it, and I thought, you know what, maybe I'll give it a shot. And I mean, I wasn't in terrible shape. I was in pretty good shape throughout high school. And so I thought, you know, I'll start running. And my roommate was one of these guys. He would go running like 4 and 5 times a week. And so he asked me one day, he said, hey, do you want to go running with me? I was like, I'm still thinking about it. So I don't know. So a couple of weeks go by and finally he asked me again. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go with you. Well, once he got me to say yes, he decided it'd be a good idea to ask a bunch of other guys in our dorm, hey, you guys want to go running? And he got like 15 people to say yes. I don't know how he got that many people to say, yeah, let's go run. But they did. And it wasn't until we're actually like dressed up, I'm in my shorts, got my tennis shoes on, out in front of the dorm, that I finally realized I haven't asked a very important question. And I looked down and I said, how far are we going? And he looked at me and said, we're just going to do a light 5K. I said, what does that mean? When you say we're going to do a light 5K, does that mean we're going to like walk it? Or is there something we're supposed to be carrying while we do this? Like, what does that mean? He goes, it's just 3 miles. I'm like, So we start going. And from where we started out at the top of a hill with a little plateau on it. So first started out, I'm okay. And then we start running downhill. We go downhill for like a really good ways. And I'm like, I can do this. This is no problem at all. And after about 3/4 of a mile, somewhere in that mark, something happened. We quit running downhill. And we started running uphill. I made it about 20 yards. And after about 20 yards, I'm like, And everybody, I'm looking around, everybody else is just like perfectly fine. And so at that point, it became personal. Like, okay, I am not going to lose. I mean, we didn't say it was a race, but I mean, come on. You get 15 guys running together. It's a race. Make no mistake, it's a race. So it's like, I am not going to lose this run. And I will come back to that story later on. But that is what we're talking about in our passage this morning. The Christian walk, living for the Lord, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, it is a race. And it is described and compared to a race in multiple places throughout the New Testament. And that is what we are going to see here this morning. So I want us to just kind of, as we go through this passage, it's only three verses, so it won't be too long. Okay? It's going to be all right. Y'all can stay awake for this. three verses, but I want us to see some very important truths from this passage regarding the race of faith this morning. So look with me at Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a moment because this is important. This is the connection, if you will, from the end of chapter 11 to the beginning of chapter 12. This is that connection, that bridge, the word therefore. All of chapter 11, remember everything that we went through in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. The great saints of old are listed and talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. The things that they did, the things that they saw, the things they were used to do, the things that they endured. All of that is described and referenced in Hebrews chapter 11. And so what the author is saying is, okay, therefore, since we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, since we are surrounded by all these great saints, these great men and women of faith who have come before us, I want to make sure we understand what he's saying here. When he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the word witnesses in this verse, it gets misconstrued a little bit. Because I want us to understand, this is not saying that we are in an arena and we are athletes in an arena who are performing for the spectation of the crowd. That's not what we're doing, and that's not what's being described here. This is not about us performing for them. They are not spectators in an arena. They are not watching us as we go about living the life that Christ has put before us. That is not what is being described. They are not witnesses of us. They are witnesses to God. There is a difference. They are not there to just spectate and clap and cheer us on. That's not what they're doing. Their witness is the life that they have already lived. Their witness is the life of faith that they put on display while they were here on earth. Their witness is the miracles that God performed in and through them. Their witness are the difficulties and the struggles that they went through while they were living a life of faith. That is their witness, which means that they are the example that we follow. They are the example of what it means to live a life of faith. They are an example of what it means to receive your reward at the end of your race. So that is what is being talked about here. When he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we have such an amazing example of all those who came before us, with all of their faults, with all of their weaknesses, they lived lives of courageous faith. And now it's our turn. And so since we are now in that race, since we are now a part of that race, he says we need to put aside the weights, cast aside all of the sin, and be focused upon the race that is set before you. So, first important truth that I want us to see in this, when you are running the race of faith, very, very important, we do not compete against other runners. This is not a competition. The race of faith is not a competition. We like to try and make it that way. A lot of us probably wish that it was a competition because, hey, if it was a competition, I can think of some people I'm doing better than. We want it to be a competition because we want to be able to soothe our own egos. We want to be able to calm ourselves down, make ourselves feel better about the things that we fail at. Because if it's a competition, even though we fail at things, there are other people that fail a whole lot worse. But this is not a race against any individual. We're not racing to get to the finish line first. What we are racing toward, what we are pursuing, we're pursuing the finish. We are trying to finish well. That is what this race is about. It's not about beating out somebody else. It's not about being better than somebody else. This race is about finishing the race of faith well, about living a life of faith that is bold, that is courageous, about taking each and every step, each and every day, in boldness, confidence, and assurance of who God is and what his word has assured us of. That is what we are doing. We are finishing the race well. We are living for the Lord. We are glorifying the Lord with everything that we are. All of our thought, all of our speech, all of our action, it is all meant to glorify and honor the Lord. And that is what we are pursuing. So in order to do that, what does he say? He says, lay aside every weight and sin. Notice he differentiates here. He differentiates between weights and sins. Why does he do that? Well, first of all, think about it this way. If you are a runner, and I know some of you in here are, because some of you are weird enough to think that that's a fun time, Chris Northey. Some of you think that's a good thing to do, and you know what? Fine, whatever. But if you're going to go running, is it a good idea to pack down a bunch of weight on yourself, to pack in a full backpack and put some weights on your legs? Like, are you going to be able to go very far if you do that? I mean, maybe some of you are in like freakish shape that you could make it pretty good doing that, but you're not going to be able to go as far or as quickly as if you didn't have any weights on you, right? And this is about finishing well. We don't want any encumbrances on us. So he says, cast aside the weights, cast aside the sins. The weights, these are the things that essentially what he's referring to here is unnecessary baggage. These are things that they're not sinful in and of themselves. But what they are is they are unnecessary weights that you are attaching to yourself that is keeping you from fully pursuing the Lord as quickly and as efficiently as you should be. So what might that be? Honestly, that could be just about anything. What is it that is keeping you from truly pursuing and going after the Lord? Maybe it's a matter of you can't seem to find enough time in the day to read the scripture. You can't find enough time in the day to spend time in prayer. But you find plenty of time in the day to check your Facebook status. Or you find plenty of time in the day to make sure that you watch the news when you get home at night. There's nothing inherently wrong with having a Facebook. There's nothing inherently wrong with watching television. But if those things are keeping you from actually pursuing the Lord, from actually focusing on the race that he has set before you, then it's an unnecessary weight that should be cast aside. And then, of course, sins. You cannot pursue the Lord and have sin. It's an oxymoron. You cannot pursue righteousness and hold on to sin. You cannot pursue righteousness and hold on to unrighteousness. It doesn't make any sense. You can have one or the other, and that's it. So if you are going to pursue the Lord, if you are going to focus upon the race that is set before you, then focus upon the race and cast aside the sin. Do not hold on to it. Do not keep it. Do not put it in a little cage and treat it like a little pet that you can just pull out whenever you want. That's not what it is. Sin is nothing more than an anchor that will keep you where you are, completely stationary, unable to move, unable to pursue, and essentially useless for the Lord. So put aside the weights, put aside the sins, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Did you catch that? Notice the phrasing. Let us run the race that is set before us. Run the race that is set before you. Not run the race that is set before your neighbor, or the race that is set before your coworker, or the race that is set before your friend, or the race that is set before your church. It's run the race, that is set before you. See, that's where a lot of us struggle. We don't struggle with understanding the metaphor. We don't struggle with understanding that we are supposed to pursue the Lord. We don't struggle with understanding that we have a path that the Lord has put us on and we're supposed to follow that path to him in righteousness. We don't struggle with understanding that. What we struggle with is looking at all of the other races that are taking place around us. We get sidetracked by everything else that's around us. And what we end up doing is we forget to actually run the race before us because we're spending so much time looking around at, oh, look at what they're going through over there. Look at that obstacle that they're going over there. And we do one of two things when we do this. We either look at somebody else's race and we make ourselves feel better because they stumbled during a turn and we tell ourselves, you know, I wouldn't have stumbled. Or I didn't stumble in my last turn, so I'm doing better than them. Or we give ourselves what's called unreal humility by saying, you know what, good for them. They're doing so. I never could have done that. That's false humility. It's not real. But regardless of what it is, it ends up being the exact same thing. We're focused on everybody else's race, what everybody else is doing in their race. And we never actually make any headway in ours. So going back to the story about me running that 5K. So we start running uphill, and at this point, I am just gasping for air. I'm starting to feel a cramp in my side, and I'm just hoping. I'm just like, okay, just, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna do it. Because everybody else around me, they look like they're doing okay. They're sweating, they're breathing heavy, but I mean, I don't see anybody that's like about to like keel over. At least I don't think they were. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going because I am not going to be the first one to stop. I'm just not going to do that. So we keep going. And I make it like another 200 yards, something like that, going up this hill. And then finally, somebody else stops. So you know what I did? I ran 3 steps past him. And then I stopped too. Because I wasn't the first one to stop. That's all. Thank you, Bailey. Yes. That deserves a round of applause, I think. Yes, I was not the first one to stop. So I felt good about myself. Did that mean that I finished the race? No. Did it mean I had even done well? No. But I made myself feel pretty good because I wasn't the first one to stop. Because I was more focused on what everybody else was doing. I didn't care where I finished. I didn't care what I actually accomplished. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't stop first. And that is how we treat our spiritual walks. That is how we treat the race that we're in. We're not focused upon where we're going. We're not focused upon the end that Jesus is bringing us to. We're so focused on everybody else around us that we're determining accomplishment and failure based upon what everybody else is doing rather than upon the finish line that Jesus has set before us. And that is failure. Just like me running that 5K was failure. But we do not run this race against others. We run this race solely with Christ. That is it. Now, since we run this race solely with Christ, look at verse 2. Where does our strength, where does our endurance come from? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If we understand and accept that we're not racing anybody else. We're not trying to get to a particular spot before somebody else or last longer than somebody else. Then we keep our focus where it needs to be. And we're looking ahead. And you know what's ahead? Jesus. Our strength to run the race, our ability to endure through the race, comes from Christ. And it comes from Christ alone. the fact that he says looking to Jesus. He says looking to Jesus, not looking to Christ. And the reason that he does this, the name Jesus, when he says look to Jesus, he's focusing on the humanity of Christ. Not his divinity, but his humanity. Because in his humanity, the greatest example of faith is Jesus. He is the ultimate example of faith. He is the ultimate example of what it means to finish well. That is Jesus. From the moment that his ministry started to the moment that it ended on the cross, he was focused upon the Lord, of looking for and serving the Lord, of honoring and glorifying the Lord. That is what Jesus did. One of the early things that we see in the gospel is Jesus' temptation in the desert. Satan tries to tempt Jesus into blaspheming. And Jesus calls upon the Lord. Throughout Jesus' entire ministry, he is focused upon the Father. He's focused upon praising the Father, honoring the Father, glorifying the Father. He's mistreated. He's humiliated. He's arrested. He's beaten. He's crucified. He's hanging on the cross. And one of the last things that he says is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it means to finish well. There are other witnesses. There are other people that we can look to, that we can be encouraged by, that we can look to as an example during certain times of life. But Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who is not just the example. He's also the one who gives us the courage. He's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us the endurance to continue on. We don't just look to him as a person who is able to show us how to do something. He gives us the example for what it means to live a life of faith and to finish well in that life of faith. But then he also gives us the strength to do it. Look at what it describes him as, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The word founder, it's the same word that is used back in Hebrews chapter 2, and it literally means the author or the originator. It's also a word that is used to describe a military commander who marches before his troops to lead them into battle. That is Jesus. In every sense of the word, he is the author, he is the founder, he is the originator. That is Jesus. Salvation comes from Christ. Faith comes from Christ. It all comes from Christ. But he's not just the founder, he's the perfecter. And the word perfecter has two meanings here. The first meaning is that he finished the course of faith perfectly. And he did. Throughout Jesus' whole life, his whole ministry, he actually kept the law. He kept the law of God. He perfected the law of God. He did what no person could ever do. So he perfected the course of faith. He lived it in perfection. But then the second meaning that it has is that he brings your faith to perfection. He is the perfect example of faith, but then he brings your faith to perfection. He is the author and the perfecter. You will not finish the course. You will not finish the race. You will not finish well if you are looking to yourself to do it. If you are depending upon yourself for your own endurance, for your own strength, for your own encouragement, if you are depending upon yourself to run the race of faith, then you will fail. You will not actually accomplish the race. You will not finish it. I stopped running in that race. And yes, I was not the first one to stop. But I stopped. Why did I stop? I stopped because, honestly, I wasn't in good enough condition to go in the first place. That was not the first thing that I needed to do, was to go start a light 5K. That wasn't what I needed to do. There were other things that I should have done first. But that was what I tried. And you know what? I never ran again. And I'm quite proud. But once I stopped, I didn't start again. Because I was tired, I was worn out, I was hurting, and I didn't see the point in continuing. So I just didn't. I walked and went back to my dorm, and I played video games the rest of the day. Because that's what 18-year-olds do in college. That's what they're supposed to do. I didn't continue on. Because I didn't have the strength. I was depending on myself for the strength, but I didn't have it to begin with. And church, that's exactly what happens when we try to run the race of faith in our own strength. We get to a point where we're too tired to go on. We get to a point where we don't see the benefit of continuing. It's easier just to stay where we are, or to even try and turn around and go in the other direction. In the modern vernacular, the phrase for that is burnout. That's what happens when a person burns out. When we burn out in pursuing Christ, when we burn out in our service, when we burn out in our ministry, it's because we're depending on ourselves for strength and endurance and not looking to Jesus for that strength and endurance. If you are depending on yourself, if you are going along in the race of faith right now, and you're like, you know, I'm feeling okay, but you're not actually focused upon Christ, you're not looking to Jesus, you are not allowing the author and perfecter of the faith to actually lead you to perfection, then at some point, I can't tell you when, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could even be years, but at some point, you will find yourself stopping in the race of faith and saying, I'm too tired to go on. And as long as you are depending upon yourself, as long as you are relying upon your strength, relying upon your endurance, that's never going to change. The only way to run and to finish well is to be strengthened by the person of Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. Now look at verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This last point is only possible because of the first two. We do not run against other runners. We do not compete against other runners. And we find our strength in Christ. And the final point here, everybody can win. Everybody can win the race of faith. It's possible. And it's possible because, number one, you're not competing against other runners. That would be ridiculous because the truth is, no matter how you look at it, it's impossible to win by competing against somebody else because you're not the first one to run this race. And since you're not the first one to run it, you're not going to be the one to win it. So let that fantasy go. We do not compete against other runners. We run and we pursue so that we can finish the race well. We can finish this life of faith well. And we run it in the strength and the endurance of Jesus. That's the only reason that everybody can win the race. So that we do not end up weary. We do not end up faint-hearted. It says, consider him who endured. Consider who? Consider Christ. Look to Christ. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you do not grow weary or faint-hearted. Just like we've already mentioned, I mean, go back to Hebrews 11. Towards the end of Hebrews 11, the author just kind of starts throwing out the names of people and throwing out the things that happened. Some of them were miraculous and some of them were good, but then some of them were awful. Some of them were terrible. The pain, the humiliation, the death, the things that these saints of old experienced and went through for the purpose of faith in the Lord. Some of those things are things that none of us would ever agree to or ever sign up for. And he's bringing that same point back here. And regardless of whether your life of faith sees the miraculous or whether your life of faith receives the grace of God to endure unbearable hardship, at the end of the race, you will be commended for your faith. As long as you run it and you finish it in the strength of Christ. When we don't run it in the strength of Christ, we get weary and we get faint-hearted. Because we're not running our race anymore. We're looking at what everybody else is going through, what everybody else is experiencing. And that's why he says, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus, because at the end of the day, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the situation or the circumstance, consider Jesus, because Jesus, he went through it too. Jesus understands it. Jesus is not letting you go through something that he himself did not actually endure. So consider Jesus. Don't consider everything else. Don't consider whether or not this person is receiving a great blessing or whether this person is experiencing an amazing miracle. That's not what we focus on, because that's not our race. And don't treat it like it is. Run your race. Run the race that the Lord has set before you, because in his sovereignty, in his goodness, in his love for you, he has put you on that race, on that path, because ultimately, that race is how your life is going to bring God the most glory. You will bring God more glory with your life on the race, on the path that you are on, than on somebody else's. That's why he has you on that one. So don't be discouraged by it. Don't be upset by it. Don't be wearied. Don't be faint-hearted. Instead, be encouraged, be strengthened in the person of Jesus, because he's the one that we're running to. He's the one that every step brings us closer to. So my challenge for us this morning, my question for us this morning, church, is very simple. Are you running your race? And as you're thinking about that question, and as you're thinking about how to answer that question, remember, your race is yours. It is not your neighbor's. It is not your friend's. Understand, it's not even your spouse's or your child's. Your race is yours. That is the race that God has put you in. So are you focused upon your finish line? Are you focused upon Jesus at the end of the path, who is bringing you closer and closer to himself? Is that what you are focused on? Or are you focused on what somebody else is doing in their race?
Are you worrying over and trying to build yourself up over what somebody else is doing in their race? Or are you allowing Jesus to strengthen you in yours? Because he will. He will strengthen and he will endure and you will win the race. But you're not going to win that race if you don't keep your eyes on him. As soon as you take your eyes off of him, just like Peter when he got out of the boat, as long as his eyes were on Christ, he was fine. He was walking on the water. The waves didn't matter. The lightning didn't matter. The thunder didn't matter because his eyes were on Jesus. But as soon as his eyes were off of Jesus, he sank. He was overcome. And the same will happen to you. Run your race and keep your eyes on Christ. And then no matter what comes up, no matter what comes up in your path, no matter what comes up in your race, guess what? You will have the strength and the endurance to overcome it because your eyes are on Christ, the one who provides that strength, the one who provides that endurance, the author and the perfecter of your faith. So keep your eyes on Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Which means you're not actually in the race. You haven't entered the race yet. You can't be strengthened. You can't be encouraged by Christ because you haven't actually entered the race for him to do that for you. He's the author and he is the perfecter. He who starts a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. It starts salvation. It starts with coming to Christ and confessing to him and professing him. Understanding that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to redeem me. I need him to cleanse me. I need him to renew me. And when you give yourself to Christ in that, then you're going to begin your race. And he won't leave you alone in your race. He will be with you every step of the way, strengthening, encouraging. Because when he begins something, he completes it. He doesn't let it go. It's not going to remain unfinished. It's not a project that gets overcome by another project. If he starts the work, he'll finish the work. So I encourage you this morning, whether you are already in the race or whether you haven't entered the race yet, take a few minutes this morning and go before the Lord. Maybe you need to just refocus yourself. You've been trying to run in your own strength. You've been trying to run in your own endurance, and it's failing because you're trying to run the race in a way it was never meant to be run. Refocus. Take your eyes off of whatever it is you're focused on and put them back on Jesus. And if you haven't entered the race yet, then it's a great day to do it. The race is long. It can be hard. It can be arduous. But the reward, there's nothing like it. And the reward is assured. It's not just a wish. It's not just an empty promise. It's assured. The reward is Jesus. Always and forever, for all of eternity, is Jesus. So however the Lord is moving, however he is speaking to you this morning, I encourage you to respond. You can come forward to the altar and pray. If you want to pray right where you're seated, you can do that. If you need somebody to pray with you, I would be happy to pray with you. But however the Lord is moving, however he is speaking to you this morning, I encourage you to respond to it and to respond in faith and to respond in obedience. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that we are not in this race against somebody else or in our own strength, but God, thank you that we are in this race, and as long as we are in this race and we are focused on you, you will strengthen us, you will give us endurance, and we can win. We can finish well. Just as Jesus and all of those witnesses who came before have shown, we can finish this race, and we can finish it well with a life that gives you honor and glory. So, Father, would you please encourage this morning? Encourage hearts, encourage minds. Convict if there needs to be conviction. Exhort if there needs to be exhortation. But, Lord, speak this morning. And as your people, may we respond in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray.